We just open for the word. Father, I thank you for everyone here, God. Yes. Lord, you certainly, I tell you, Lord, you certainly don't hold back. You know, we could be two people in agreement and your glory would move upon us. Lord, that's what I love about you. It says you're not restrained to say by few or many. In fact, it's always about your power, about your grace, about your love, about what you do. It's you first, we are definitely second. And I thank you that you're here today. And you're speaking to us today. Lord, we tremble at your word, and that is a good thing. We revere your truth. That is a good thing. We don't want to mar it. We don't want to mess it up. We don't want to teach it wrong. Because Lord, the more we know, there's no doubt about it, the more we live, the more we know. Yes. But bless us today, we come in humility to you. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Well, I am glad to be here today, and I am thrilled to be here today. And sometimes I do a 6-day week, and I told Anna when I get in, you know, you kind of do these things, you know. But anyway, let's begin with the word today. You ever feel like you're working so much, you're tired, and you're trying to catch your breath and stuff? You know? Well, let's get into the word today. I was saying that I get in and I don't feel normal till Sunday morning if I get on a Saturday, or Saturday morning if I get on a Friday, so it varies. I was wondering about something that really struck me, and I don't know where you're at. Let's be honest. We, the Christian, say that we get our convictions from the Bible, but in essence, we believe we get our convictions from God Almighty. We believe it's an active conviction because the Bible has history, but am I right? The Bible is more than a history book. It's God's living word. Yeah. And I think there's a season coming to where there's going to be, I call it a reconnect with the throne. Because what does man do when you quote a conviction? Well, that's what you believe. You know, Bible tells me to do this, or God tells me to do this. Well, that's you. That's just you. That's how you feel about it. And there is this always aggressive attempt to take the throne commandment and bring it down to man. You know what I mean? Bring it down to an angle. Make it less authoritative to argue about not only God's existence, did God really say that? So we have this problem where God is speaking from the throne. I believe even when you're listening to his word, he is speaking from the throne. It's fresh. It's real. He's currently talking. Mm-hmm. The devil, on the other hand, loves to take that and he loves to reduce it to man. He wants people to think what we believe comes from us, comes from a Bible that is an antiquated book, that is no longer relative, whatever, or that is flat out wrong. But I want to say something about the needed convictions that we carry are from us, but from God. They're not from us, but they're from God. And I want you to understand this. So I started thinking about that we are in a theocracy, so we have a king that is on a throne. And, you know, God could have sent his son to die at any time. And it's interesting the period that he sends Jesus in. He could have had the law go on till tomorrow, and then Jesus could have came on the scene the day after that. But he chose to do it in a particular way. But I believe that there's the typical attacks on the convictions. I call them, I'm going to, just for lack of a better word, we have throne convictions. Meaning we have convictions as Christians that come from the throne. Therefore, they carry the most weight. They carry the highest amount of authority, because is there a throne higher than God's throne? There is not. Is there a king higher than Jesus? There is not. But I see this reduction. You know, I hear stories of there was a meeting and some elders met and they were talking and they were asking the pastor, like, you know, why did we quit praying? And why did we quit, you know, the meetings? And now we only meet here. And that, you know, and the pastor said, but a lot of pastors say, well, you know, millennials, they only do this and they do that. And one of the elders said, I don't care about millennials. I don't care about people from the 60s. Why did we stop praying? What are you saying? Yes. You know, you're giving me the statistics. Millennials don't like to go to church 2 days a week. And again, this is a manifestation of something that is a greater problem. That is man. Here's God. Mm-hmm. People have to understand this. There's been an alteration of so many things we do that are eternal from God that we just said, well, you know, this generation doesn't do this. This generation doesn't do this. Even when the hippies came in the 60s, we had similar problems. But a lot of the pastors had common sense to say, wait a minute. Do we curtail things to, you know what I mean, to fit a particular generation? Nothing wrong with reaching a generation. But there's another thing when we start altering the things of God. Mm-hmm. The Lord says, pray without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. I mean, if we become a prayerless church, what is our hope? So my friend was in this meeting because he is an elder, and he just said, and he was in being rude, but he said, I don't care about millennials or what they say. This church stopped praying 4 years ago. We started doing these meetings, and now we're only doing them once a week, you know what I mean? We have no more meetings because millennials don't like to come. And I'm thinking, and let's take that a step further. What if we get into another, what about another people rise up, and they don't believe in going to church at all? And do we stop praying? We cancel the prayer meeting? You know what I'm saying? But here's what I believe is going on in the spirit. Some of this is a little prophetic. I believe that what's going on in the spirit, there's been a battle about throne convictions for a long time. There has been a battle. There is a battle going on right now to where we are supposed to have convictions from the throne of God. And instead, Satan is telling people, that's man, that's man, that's man. And we're needing to hold the confidence and say, well, we believe comes from the throne, not from men, not even from history. Because the word of God is eternal. And what that means is this. The Bible you pick up and you read, the maker of it had no beginning of days. So the character things, the wishes, the desires you're seeing of the Father always has been, and it is active today. I really believe this is something the Lord is doing because the devil has combated. You guys with me on this? Mm-hmm. And he wants you to have a confidence to say, God said. Do you know I found people get really mad if I say, God says. Mm-hmm. I've had people get unraveled if I say, Jesus is speaking. Mm-hmm. Now, there's the generic God, you know, there's the Lord. I've heard many people talking about the Lord this, the Lord that. But it's the very throne of God is where we... Now, this isn't a step in pride. I've seen Christians go, you know, you can't be arrogant like that. And I said, how could I be arrogant if I'm quoting the scripture? And of course I can walk in arrogance, but you understand what I'm saying. To be certain is not to be arrogant. Arrogance is another issue. You need to feel the backing of God Almighty in His throne. Imagine you're speaking in the generation we live in right now. You can hear all kinds of things, and people are going to say all kinds of things. Every one of you in this room has hit the backlash for something. And everybody wants you to reduce. 2 Timothy 3:16, let's just read this, but I want to put it in a different light. Everybody knows the scripture. When I hear 2 Timothy 3:16, I know it's about all scripture is inspired. But the Lord was dealing with me this week, and he said he wants to bring back a throne conviction to where we are certain. We know that what we say, God says. People are going to come at you the more you speak truth, if they don't want truth. But people that are being changed, saved, transformed, that God is saving and salvaging, guess what? Your certainty will say that it will help them. It will even bring them to salvation because it's God's certainty. Trust me. There's a beautiful thing in this one church meeting. I'm not connected with them per se, but I'm connected with their elders and I counsel with them. And my thing to them was fantastic. Reopen the prayer meeting. Absolutely. Millennials, let's come on. Let's just say they're human beings that need Jesus. And then remember what you're saying too. You're saying, well, millennials don't do this. They're talking Christian millennials, not pagan millennials. I don't care if you're a Christian millennial, a Christian farmer, a Christian hippie, a Christian yuppie. It doesn't matter. One scripture, one time, one truth. That's it. Think about this for a second. The behavioral trends of any generation. And I got saved myself in the Jesus People movement. Does anybody remember that? See, the hippies, The hippies did something right. And it was real cool because you grew your hair out because Jesus had long hair and you pierced your ear. Jesus had an earring, you know. My ear still pierced to this day. And it was funny, but even that had its limits to where you had to be careful of a generation kind of slipping into the eternal truth, to the throne truth. And order was, you didn't want a lot of tight order because that was conformist. But again, you needed to have a service, you know. You needed to have a start time, you know. There were so many things. So I suppose there's always been a challenge, but I believe Satan is challenging the throne of God like he's never done. Think about the gender confusion we have. Think about all the eternal, permanent boundaries we're moving right now. Satan is at an all-out war with the throne of God. A lot of people think he's first at war with the Christian. He's first at war with God.
Yes.
That's always been his hostility. Mm-hmm. And look, can I give you a word? He's not getting less hostile, trust me. Satan doesn't cool off. He doesn't have a timeout room. I wished he did. But I looked at this and I thought in 3:16, you know, whenever you hear that, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Now, we took this in one way. We took it, we're going to study and learn the word. Well, absolutely. But one of the problems that many times when people read this, they learned all the facts. You know what I'm saying? They got the memory verses down. But they forgot that in these facts, they were coming from the throne. I've been in meetings where people were talking about, you know, we got to love this sex of sinners and love this section of sinners, and we're doing a bad job of loving this section. And I stood up in a room and I said, you know what I don't understand is why is this particular sin, we're like walking around in kid gloves and we're worried about it. I said, I didn't hear that same kind of special treatment given to any other kind of sin. Why is this sin, why is there a sympathy? Now, I'm not telling you we should scream at anybody, but it was weird. It was making all these kind of allotments, and I went, wow. When I read all scripture is inspired by God, it comes from the throne. All truth we have comes from the throne. Do you realize that our modern theology has come off the rails in so many ways? We have the emergent movement. We have so many bad movements. But do you realize that it's that so many people studied the word, but then they treated it as if it came from man. They treated it as if it came from, you know, somewhere less eternal. They treated it as if somehow it didn't come from the throne. Because let me ask you something. If there's a truth that comes off of the throne of God, how apt are you to say, we don't need it? Think about this for a minute. But if there's a truth that in the back of your mind, you might not say it, but you're not certain it's from the throne, or you don't feel like you can say that, how long will that truth survive? Are you with me, guys? If the view of where it comes from is changed. I'll never forget getting saved and realizing that all scripture came from God. I'll never forget getting saved and realizing that the little smatters of truth that I had rejected, the person that I threatened that witnessed to me, that they were actually sent from God, and it was the very throne of God that I was at war with. I'll never forget how amazingly hard that was to swallow for me. And yet it was so amazing because I had realizing I was rejecting God, not man. That Baptist kid that I threatened, I literally threatened him. If he kept talking, I would shut his mouth. He came from God. That eternal truth he gave me, when I told that one guy, you know, how do you know if you take God, spell it backwards, it means dog. Maybe canines are gods. Kind of arrogance. And you realize, finally, I saw it, it comes from the throne. This is where we need to settle scores, guys, I'm telling you. But God is, I believe, reinstilling a throne conviction. I'll call, for lack of a better name, you call it what you want, to where we know what we know. And when we speak, we say, no, this comes from God. Mm-hmm. How many times have I had people, what I've dealt with, whether it's a husband or a wife, one of them has a conviction, and every time that they spout a conviction, the partner looks at me like they got that from you. They wouldn't believe that on their own. Do you imagine how ridiculous it is when someone says that to me? I'm going, you've got to be joking. You actually think that they aren't capable of such a conviction. You've detached it from the throne of God, the command of God, and you have the audacity to pretend it's a commandment of man that's negotiable. How dark and twisted is such a logic? The very heart of the devil is that very thing I'm saying. That's the heart of the devil. It's not from God, it's from man. Well, I like that belief, but I don't like that belief, so that must be from, that's from man, that's not from God. And we play this negotiating game that is so scary and so silly that we don't even understand that we're about to ride off the rails with that stuff. Through many years of ministry, I've seen this again and again and again and again, and it just stuns me. But I say this for your encouragement, because what you believe, and it comes from God's throne. God's very authority, God's very speaking. Think about it. The word of God comes from the mouth of God. Like I said, there's been a bit of a breakdown with all the studying. We've learned many principles, but we forgot the presence. And I want you to kind of get that through your mind, that there's principle and there's presence. In fact, there's even principles that are right, that are true, that are moral in the scripture, but if you forget the presence that goes with it, it changes a lot of what you do. It really does. There's principle and there's presence, and we need our principles soaked in God's presence, and we need the things we do soaked in God's presence. But I believe there's a war going on, and I've seen it again and again and again. All scripture comes from the mouth of God. Let's even take this farther. It's inspired by God. God spoke it. God said it first. Isn't it amazing that you need the confidence? How many times have you been backed in a corner to where you saw the truth and somebody just come at you? Why are they coming at you? They're coming at you because what you said just stopped them in their tracks of what they're doing. Let me tell you something. People do not like to be stopped in mid-stride, especially when they're chasing evil or they're chasing something of the flesh. They'll get angry, they'll get mad, they'll accuse you, they'll call you narrow, they'll call you whatever. But I really believe the strong connection needs to come again, and we'll get into this. But the challenge tactic's going to always be there. You state a belief, and somebody either says, that can't have come from you, that comes from that pastor, that can't have come from you, you watch that YouTube video, that can't have come from you, you turn that TV preacher on, or Billy Graham, and it's his beliefs, and they reduce it, and they reduce it, and they reduce it, and they reduce it, and you start understanding that we need the ability to kick back and just say, listen, I'm not going to be haughty or arrogant, but this comes from God himself. I'm sure of it. I know it. It's right from the throne of God. You want to argue with it, argue with the scripture, argue with the throne of God. Quit putting this on man. Quit putting this on different people. Quit thinking that God's not capable of giving me a conviction from his throne. That's actually the heart of it, is it not? See, a lot of us go through this and we don't even understand what has been challenged in us. And we don't even understand how belittled the throne has been made. It's a horrible sin. Horrible sin. We should shudder. We should be afraid almost for the people that do that, because it's not only dangerous, it sows a huge disconnect in that soul. Now, I don't say this to put any one particular group of people down, because everybody everywhere goes through this. But all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. We should even tell new disciples, we're about to show you what's come out of the mouth of God and how he wants you to live. We're about to show you in the scripture what you need to be doing from God, you know what I'm saying, and what he's saying to you today, currently. But Satan, I want you to think about this. When you go into the story of Satan in the scripture, one of the things that Satan said is, I will put my throne above the throne of God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Satan's core, his heart, his principle, he's not at war with you. He's at war with your Savior. He's not at war with you. He's at war with his Creator, his own Creator who made him. And he always wants to put his throne above the throne of God. Now, there are many ways this manifests in public and many different angles we see with this, but it's really important you get a grip on this, because, again, I just see this challenge all the time. I see people go through it all the time. I want to do this. Well, Scripture says you can't. I've even seen people where I said, yeah, the Bible makes no allotment, and I heard a person, and they were saying, they said, I'll find a way. And the subject we were on, trust me, wasn't like one of those you debate. It was a very clear, easy Scripture. I'm like, you'll find a way. Wow. How does that work? I want to, you almost want to joke and say, let me know when you found the way, because I'm just curious what it looks like. I knew a man who was discipling a man, and he was making some breakthroughs, and finally the man called him and he said, I can't meet. Something came up, and I can't meet. Something came up. Finally he texted me and said, listen, man, I want to set you free. To the guy discipling, he said, you're in bondage, man. I hear God on my own. I don't need anybody to tell me what God's saying. And he said, I'm going to show you a new way. And so my friend consultant said, Mike, what's your thought? I said, oh, definitely meet with him, because I got to know what the new way he found. I just come out and say, bring a notebook. I want to know, because he said, you're in such bondage. Do this, don't do this. And just misunderstood the whole thing. Without realizing it, that man actually just rejected the throne of God itself and rejected the person of God himself. He didn't find a new way. He said, I got such freedom. I got peace, man. Meaning ever since I shed that scripture, well, I will give you the end of that story before the beginning. It didn't work out well. But again, this is the war that's going on. The world will war against the throne of God, because the devil wars against the throne of God. The world will seek to put a throne above God's standard, because the devil seeks to put a throne above God. It's very simple. This is the driving force behind so much of what you see. Yes, obviously. Anyway, I want you to go to Hebrews 12, 25 through 27. This is really critical to read for you today. 12, 25 through 27 in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Yeah, I want to say this too, because so many of us, I've talked to so many of you, and I've been always proud of you guys, because those of you in this church, I've seen you face challenges. And not do it arrogantly, not do it mean, mercy, but I've seen you stand for principle. I've seen many of you take heat. Many, not, it's not just isolated one of you. So I've watched, there's a lot of stories where you've really taken heat for standing for what God says. It's just really important. We need a confidence again. Here's the interesting thing. I believe part of the tactics of the enemy right now, he's doing this very sublimely. He's doing it, he's very subtle. What does it say about the devil? Because really it's the devil, right, in the garden. I mean, I know it's a snake, but it's actually the devil. Mm-hmm. So when Moses writes out the five books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, you know, and he goes through all of it, he's actually, when he says, now the serpent was more subtle than any, he's not talking about snakes. He's talking about Satan. Satan is the master of subtlety. Mm-hmm. Satan will rarely come at something head on. Rarely. In fact, I read a book by T. Austin Sparks called Our Warfare, and he says, one thing you've got to realize about the devil, he said, I see Christians crying and say, the devil attacked and he's coming against me, and they're focusing on one area he hit. He said, the devil is a strategist. If he's hitting an area, normally that may even be a front. He's working in five other areas. He's very subtle in how he does it. In fact, the devil mostly wants you to never know he's been where he's been fighting, and he never wants you to even catch his trail. He wants to go into something, put it against the throne of God, and then leave it. And he wants to get it into motion on its own. He's not omniscient, he's not omnipotent, he can't be in all places at all times. So he needs to start something, seed it, and move away from it. Mm-hmm. There's not even enough demons to carry out a personal, you know, each one has a personal person. It's just not like that. But what's it say in Hebrews? See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on the earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, obviously, the writer in Hebrews is talking about Moses in Mount Sinai. But it's giving an equation that nowadays where God warns and speaks from is from heaven. He speaks from the throne of God. He's not on the top of Mount Sinai giving the Ten Commandments. He is on the top of his throne in heaven, and through the Holy Spirit, he is uttering his word. Now, the one thing I really believe that's going to happen is we're going to have a renewal of throne convictions where Christians will once again stand up and say, no, this is the very mouth of God. When people try to get them to negotiate, well, I don't know about that, or I don't know about this. And then, you know, there's always the logic to it. If you know Christians that like to pick and choose what to believe, I mean, how many of you have seen this? I have. I've seen people, I actually had a person said, I love all the encouraging stuff from the scripture, but I get confused when I read the mean stuff. I said, well, number one, I'm not sure what you think is mean is actually mean, because what you're telling me is you like that which agrees with you, that doesn't impinge upon you, but when you read a scripture that basically says you're wrong, that bothers you. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. In fact, isn't authority, ultimate authority, is only seen the best when we can obey it when we don't agree with it? Think about it. When a scripture hits me and it denies me something, and I say, you know what? That says no. I mean, that's really a test of the authority. It's easy to agree with where we agree. Am I right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like saying, even when we have friendships, we say, a friendship is only as good as the fights and how you come through the fights, not through the good times. That actually is what defines us many times. But I believe one of the things the writer is speaking of is the convictions that come from the throne, the God that warns from the heavens. And it's really this kind of thinking that the body is needing desperately right now. You know, it's funny. I've been in so many meetings, pastoral meetings, fellowship meetings, you know, where I'm watching people literally wrestling with the Word of God. Even ashamed of parts of it. No sense of the throne. Their convictions are, you know, it's interesting, as they were parsing out and separating their convictions, what they want to hold to, and some people were even admitting that some of what God says just doesn't make sense to them. And I'm not talking truths that are hard to interpret. And I think you know the areas. In fact, the areas were typical in society right now of what we're fighting for. I'm talking about the paganism and the sin and the sexual perversion. And it's interesting. Isn't it interesting? There's a room full of people go, yeah, I'm having a hard time with that. And yet the world's having a hard time with that. I'm like, we need throne conviction. You should not be sitting in this meeting. You are a pastor. You should not be wrestling with the throne of God. Why is this hard? Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the person that said, you know, I do, they got a, you know, a church and said, and we got a home study. And when I tell people about this particular sin, said, I don't know why God does this. I just know we got to obey. I'm thinking, are you serious? I said, man, sitting under you would be a quick road down the road of sin, because even what you just said, you have a problem with what God said, and you actually said it doesn't make sense. If a teacher says to you, that Bible verse, and what they meant doesn't make sense, then why is God denying it? Why does he say you can't do it? I'm giving you the context. Meaning, no, it's not that it didn't make sense, it's that, again, you don't like what he said you must do. But again, I really believe that the enemy is right in this thing, and he does that. But I want to encourage you to have these convictions again, because here's the thing. You need throne convictions. If I have a conviction from somebody, and because many of the convictions we have, let's be honest, they're taught to us, we read them, we hear preachers. But we need to keep in mind, as we're hearing stuff, that comes from God. Now, if there's something a guy says that's not in the scripture, don't believe it. It's not from God. I don't care who he is. I don't care how big he is. But this is the point I'm getting at, because we're needing it. Because I don't know about you, but there is such a poking and a poking and a trying to weakening of the very thing that, man, this stuff we believe, this comes from God, this is not from man, therefore it is not alterable. It is not changeable. You can't pick and choose. This is not how it works. I believe God's raising up a generation that will get a hold of this. I really do. But much truth is being sold, even as we speak. And many Christians are weak. They're hurting. They've been beat down. They're fighting with even the simplest of convictions. When I see Christians say, you know, I have a hard time with the belief in hell. And I said, you and every other sinner walking around. Think about that. And I turned to the person and I said, God, give me wisdom. You know that moment where you could say a lot of pat answers and quote scriptures, but I'm like, Lord, I need a wisdom here. You know, I'm feeling it. It's not just, I could quote verses, but, you know, and the Lord kind of dropped this in my heart. I said, isn't it interesting, because this person was also talking to a person that had a problem with hell. I said, isn't it interesting that according to the conversation you had, and even after you had it, you began to have a problem. I said, isn't that interesting? You didn't have a problem when the person started talking to you. And I said, and you're a veteran believer. I said, but it isn't interesting that all the places they have a problem with the scripture is in places that speak of judgment, conviction, absolute right and wrong, and absolute accountability for right and wrong in eternity, and rejecting Jesus. Mm-hmm. The person said, you know, I didn't think of it that way. I said, well, maybe that's why the Lord prompted me. Because it's funny, we get so tailor-made with what bothers us. You know, it's like, come on, it's simple. It's like your child saying, I love when you let me do things, but I really worry about your love when you say I can't go out. But think about it for a minute. How many times a kid says, you know, you don't love me, you know? Right. I'll never forget, my brother's kid did something really smart. He did something really wrong, and I guess the strap was coming off, and he said, Dad, when God forgives, is it forgotten? He said, absolutely. Never to be remembered. Absolutely. He says, well, do you love and forgive me? He said, absolutely. He said, then how can you do this if you've forgiven me? I think he hit him harder after that, because he was twisting the word of God. And he needed to learn not to twist the truth. You know what I'm saying? I want to go to Acts 4, verse 18. Chapter 4. The last one I want to hit with you today. But I just want you to feel like Peter and James and John. I want you to carry these convictions and be able to really deal with the world you're in. I really do, guys. Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 18. Now, Peter, if you know, and John, remember, they were at the temple. They healed the guy. And the Pharisees, you know, finally send guards because the man's... Isn't it sad that they were coming at him because a noteworthy miracle had happened?
Yes.
They were worried that that would actually prove that Jesus, Yeshua, was who he said he was. That's an interesting thing. But it says, and when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. I want you to get this in your head a little bit. Peter actually makes a claim when they say, you're going to stop teaching in this name. You are going to stop doing these things, okay? Peter connects everything he's doing with the very throne and desire of God. He didn't say whether it's right, you know, whether I should obey. It's funny, he doesn't even bring up the fact of Scripture. He just says whether it's right in the sight of God, you know, to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. This is an interesting saying because, again, I believe this is a statement we should make more than we don't make it. When somebody says, I don't like that, say, well, whether it's right that, you know, I should give heed to what you're saying, which really isn't from the Word and isn't from the throne and the mouth of God, you could be the judge of that, but what I'm doing comes from God. And the more people come at you and say, you know, I don't know, it's that person you're listening to, the more you've got to say, you know, you're wrong, it comes from God. And every time they push it, you've got to come back and say, you're wrong, it comes from God. And I'm going to help you because if I acquiesce to what you're pressuring me to do, I'm going to be disobeying God. Quite frankly, I can't afford it, neither can you. You may be too ignorant to understand this, but you're going to have to get a grip on it. And then I love what Peter says, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. It's interesting because Peter is talking about the living reality of God. The living reality that the name of Jesus healed that man at the temple. And it also speaks of active, not passive. And what I mean is, when God is moving, you can't help but to go where he goes. You know? I want you to think about this. Even if we get into to countries that are dangerous, you've got to have a conviction that you're sent by God or you can't go at all. Mm-hmm. Can't go at all. You can't go at all. Why? God's not going there. I got to tell you something. I swallowed really long and hard on my last trip because I had never felt the fear hit me the way it did. And I've been in some bad places. I mean, bad places. And I had to really do a gut check. I wrestled with this for weeks. I didn't talk about it. There was no need to, but I prayed about it, and I'm just like, I gotta know, because I knew this was tough. But God has to be going there. It's not even, here's the deal. A lot of people go, yeah, God's got to go with me, otherwise I might get hurt. Mm-hmm. There's an error in that statement. God can go with me, and I can get killed, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. The issue isn't, God's got to go before me, because if he doesn't, I'm going to get in trouble. I may get in trouble if he's with me. Mm-hmm. I may spill my blood on foreign soil when he's totally with me and is in the trip. Think about this for a second. This is really heavy stuff. But again, it comes right back to that throne conviction. It comes right back to knowing you're in this place you need to be. You're doing the thing God is asking you to do. This is it. I had the Lord speak something to me the other morning, and it disturbed me something greatly. I even told Steve about it because I said it out loud. I was by myself. And God showed me something about the future, and it stunned me. And as I said it, I went, oh my gosh, why did I say that? You know, because I realized it was very unpleasant. But it was what it was. And this is really where Peter and John are at. They're just saying, hey, God's moving. You guys be the judge of that, but we are going to keep on doing what the very mouth of God tells us to do, what the very presence of God moves us to do. So you guys can wrestle with all this. It's of God. You know, Jesus is not of God, you know, and do that, but we're going to keep moving. And he had a conviction to come from God alone. He wasn't propped up by men. You know what I'm saying? But obviously, now think about the fight the Pharisees has. This man's a sinner, Jesus. I mean, this man, you know what I'm saying? This man was a sinner. Remember the man healed, born blind? He was healed. Mm-hmm. And the man starts preaching a sermon, basically, that shows more wisdom than the Pharisees. And he was untrained. He said, wow, imagine that. Never has it been heard that one that is blind has received sight. He's like, here, and there, what is their excuse? You're in your sins, this and that, you know what I'm saying? Their excuse is to take that miracle and say it doesn't come from heaven. It comes from man. And if it comes from this Jesus, he's a bad guy, so this miracle is evil. Think about this for a minute. Again, right back to the throne issue, right back to saying the origin of this thing is not from the throne of God. It is not from the mouth of God. It didn't come. But that's the very fight we're seeing right now. We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We need it. We need it. Now, I talked about principle but presence, and this is a real critical thing, that there are many things. We need God's presence to go before us. There are many things that are principle. You can be honest. You can do this. You can follow different principles of Scripture. But presence is really critical right now, because if we don't get a hold of this, we're going to make a lot of errors, guys. I'm going to tell you this right now. I've seen people that they're into the moral principles of some of the Scripture, but the very spirit behind it, they have no clue. They're like clueless as to what's going on. And we need this today. And imagine God's army, just for a second, when we know where our convictions come from, and we sit there and go, our convictions are from the very mouth of God, and the scriptures from the very mouth of God, and who we are right now doing, this is from the very mouth of God. As the world attacks the credibility of the word, because I don't know if you understand this, and I think all of you do. A lot of you guys are thinkers like me, and you kind of work stuff through. But I look at even the attacks, even with the gender bender stuff we've seen rise in the last 10 years. It goes at not only the throne of God, but the very God's mind in creation. Isn't it weird sometimes you hear an argument and you see people fighting something, but it doesn't dawn until later what they're really fighting against? It's the very creative hand of God. They're not only just going against the throne, they're going against creation. What God created what for? What God created this for, that for? And they're arguing with the mind, the very mind of God. Not only is Satan manifest in this kind of behavior and mentality, he's super manifest. Have you ever seen the challenge to God's throne as I've seen it today? I haven't. When I started looking at gender neutral stuff, I just went, oh, you know, this is crazy because we're hitting a stage now. But this isn't the last trend that's coming. Trust me. Again, this is one of those things where it's just one area of life. There'll be many other areas that will be hit because this is the work of the enemy and he is undermining the throne of God. And he's fighting against the ordination of God, the creation of God, God's intention. It is a very frontal assault. And it's funny when you hear all of this, like I said, even that pastor that stood up in that room, you know, acting like God's word should be apologized for. And it stunned me. It really stunned me. And it stunned me that more pastors didn't stand up when they said that. And not attack the pastor, but lovingly correct the pastor. It really got to me. I believe that there's a generation of us who are rising up that we will speak truth. And as these things are challenged, we will help people seek God's ways. I believe that there's going to be a greater connection between God's people and God's throne in the latter season. Now, people can say it always should be this way, and I totally agree. But I've never seen the Word of God so debated. Some years ago, you could disagree with the Word of God. People wouldn't really, they would say, I don't believe it, and they would drop it. Now, there's a very aggressive kind of coming against truth. There's an active war against truth. I see it all the time. But here's the interesting thing. I know the world comes against Christians and the world comes against truth, but I could deal with that. But what I'm watching in the body is what bothers me the most.
Yes.
The world hates God. It says so. Lies in the power of the evil one. They need to be saved. We're loving the sinner. We're praying for the sinner. That's all good. We were all sinners. But it's when the body has a war going on in its own heart that we're in a lot of trouble. Think about this for a minute. It's when the body is having a struggle like it's having right now that you look and you go, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because the very foundation is being shaken. And people, but again, I read the scripture in Hebrew about, you know, don't be careful of him who warns from heaven, you know? And even the context, Mount Sinai was God's people at the base, not the pagan nations. The context was, you know, even when the writer in Hebrews writes this, and you think about when he's talking about first Mount Sinai, and then the later place where God warns from heaven, make sure you obey, it's still in the context of the church. Like I said, the world doesn't believe the scripture. But it's the people that claim to know Jesus, that's where the battle lies, actually far more greatly. Because how many of you know when the world even kills the Christian, they multiply? And we know from history, and I'm about ready to close up, that Satan hit the body both externally and internally. If you look at Acts, there were heretics that got risen up pretty quick. And there was, you know, many of the Roman emperors were brutal to Christians. But if you think about it, that's the war to pay attention to. I don't worry when the world says, you know, God is this or God is this, and they speak abominable things about God. I mind it, but it's to be expected. What bothers me is when I spot the war in the pew. The war in the pew is the one that's really going to take them due damage. That's it. And that's the one I notice and I grieve over because that's, but I believe, again, we're going to close in prayer. I seriously believe, guys, hear me out on this, I seriously believe, even now, that there's going to be a revitalization of the throne connection. And I believe God is going to raise up Christians and people, there are going to be people that are going to understand that what they speak comes from the mouth of God. There's going to be a greater reverence. But the body's going to need to repent. You know, I told the person once that was dabbling with something, I said, I could deal with the sin you're in. And you were a man, I said, you were a person in ministry. I said, I could deal with the sin if you would just say you're sinning. I said, but you just sat here, and I met with somebody privately that I'll never talk about this, but they were giving me some heavy stuff, and they told me, and I said, my problem isn't what you're doing, and it's immoral, and my problem is that you're saying it's okay. I said, because if you could just say it's immoral, I can pray for you and ask God to reach you, but you're saying it's permissible with God. And I said, we have a greater problem. I said, I'm not telling you I couldn't be where you are. We all can. We're just a decision away from that. I said, but my problem is you're saying, you know, sweet is sour and sour is sweet. You're saying evil is good and good is evil. And I said, what hope is there if you stay in that position? I said, because you're confused about the throne of God. I said, listen, I've did plenty of bad things. Even when I was a Christian, I said, I blew it many times. I said, but one thing I tried to stay away from was saying that was of God. And I said, well, what's the difference? I said, well, the difference is God could deal with me and bring me to repentance. You're saying it's God. Therefore, for you to be corrected, there is no correction because the throne is in your corner. Think about this for a minute, guys. And that's actually why you're seeing Christians question the things they question. Satan has been at work behind the scenes, skillfully weaving a pattern of dethroning truth, of disconnecting heaven with the words we read in our Bible. He's been working real hard at it. That's why many Christians, you know, you saw the emergent movement, and it's funny, what did they go after? Hell. One of the first things on their chopping block was hell. The second thing on their chopping block was morality. The third thing, I mean, they had all so many, Satan was working on so many ways, but let's just stand and pray today. I want you to feel commissioned from the throne. And I want you to understand, as the Bible shares with you and you read it daily, I mean, you're getting the mouth of God right there. He's speaking to you what he wants. I want you to grab this. I want you to be encouraged and empowered. And when the challenges come, that is okay. Father, we pray a renewal in the connection between what you say in your throne and your authority. I pray a confidence in this generation needs it. Lord, the word has been weakened and there are so many attacks against it. I mean from other believers. Yes. Lord, we know the world is riotous and lives on its own, you know, goes to its own beat of its own drummer. But what we don't want to see, God, is such a victory in the body. Lord, that's why record numbers of Christians are professing convictions that no longer line up with the Word of God. Lord, in 1970, the statistics of which Christians believe the Bible really was of God compared to now, it's unbelievable. Yes. Lord, I don't even know if 50% of the church actually believes in the Scripture anymore. Lord, if that's the case, how can we save people? How can anybody walk with real conviction if they believe half of what they read? Even then, the statistics said they believed it probably as God. Now, Lord, we pray to you because this is too big for us. I believe you're going to do a renewal between the throne and us and a renewal between the connection of the authority of God. You said that yet once more you will warn from heaven to be careful. Lord, just like the people on Mount Sinai, they were having an orgy while Moses was getting the actual commands. They had belittled the throne of God because as you really were at top of Mount Sinai, we read in other scriptures, your throne got kind of put on top of Mount Sinai and there you were dictating the word of God from the very throne upon Mount Sinai. Lord, you said it's actually more serious when we ignore who warns from heaven. So the Moses thing, the Mount Sinai thing is a problem. We read about what Israel did, but you're saying it's even more dangerous now. Lord, I know everybody in this room, and I pray as we go, I've seen people stand for the truth in wonderful ways, and I just pray today. We remember that we have been commissioned by the very throne of God. Oh, that's wonderful to say. Yes. It's wonderful to say. Lord, the next time we say a conviction to somebody and they keep connecting with men, help us to say, you know what, you're not only dead wrong, but I'm capable of a godly conviction, and I'm not only capable, but I am totally, it comes from the throne. Argue with God. quit looking to men, quit looking to others. Yes. I didn't get this off being a fundamentalist or being a Pentecostal.
That's right.
I got this off of the throne of God. And stop belittling me and treating me as if I'm so unintelligent that I don't have the capability of recognizing my Father and the convictions He gives.
Thank you, Father.
Help us to walk in strength, not in arrogance, Lord. There is a need for humility.
Yes.
None of what I'm saying, we should be arrogant. But Lord, it's interesting. To be sure isn't to be arrogant. I pray a blessing today.
Sure.
Thank you for everyone here, Lord. I really believe you've come today. I really believe you've shown up here.
Yes.
I really believe that you've spoken. And this is a funny thing, Lord, as you've used. I've talked to Melissa, Barbara, everybody in this room, and they've told me stories where they've spoke for you. And it was powerful. Didn't always get the results. You know, we see static. But spoke for God. Was confident. And move forward with the very throne of God. Lord, that should give us a confidence because sometimes that will cause trouble. But even then, Lord, I've talked to people in sin that said, what helped me the most was Christians that were uncompromising. And even though I yelled at them, I was going through so much conviction inside. That's awesome, isn't it, Lord?
Yes.
Just to know that sometimes we look at stuff and it reads different. But we're having an effect. Touch us today, I pray. Bless us today. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessings, everyone. Great to be with you today. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good.